Hi, I'm Ben Woods, and I'm going to be talking about my new record, Dispello.
It's been 3 years since you released your debut record, Put. What's it like looking back on that release?
Thinking back to Put and listening to that, when I was recording and writing it, I was thinking of a band. Like, I just had a band in mind that all those songs would be, you know, not like people in real life, but, you know, I knew I kind of wanted it to be framed as a band. Whereas this, I kind of felt liberated after making Put to be more like every song can be a different band, you know? I kept thinking about it in terms of spaces. Like, I quite like a lot of room sounds in the recording. And I like that about the album too, is that you can definitely hear in parts little, like, knocks and things in the room. I started writing the songs for Dispello maybe 3 or so years ago now, or maybe longer. And by the time Put had come out, which I think was 2019, you know, it was the same thing, it was years before that. So when I hear those songs, I remember after it was released, I had a moment where I couldn't really listen to it, but since then I found a bit more enjoyment in listening to them again. But it definitely feels like a different person in a lot of ways, and a different process of making it, you know? It was my first time recording and writing, and I guess, you know, just being a solo artist. So I feel like I was just figuring everything out in that regard. I think because of going through that experience with Put, I don't have the same thing now, but there's definitely, it's less of an experience where I'm beating myself up, and more of it kind of makes me want to just do the next one a lot, you know, and I've been thinking about that a lot recently.
When you first started on Dispello back in 2019, what did you expect it to look like, and what's it like looking back on it now that it's finished and out in the world?
It's definitely not what I expected in some ways. Like, I think it's a bit more stranger, and when I was writing it, I wanted everything to be impulsive in a way, or, you know, like, I wrote the songs all pretty quickly and didn't want to do a lot of editing. And with the recording, it was kind of like that, in that it was just experimenting on my own and then kind of making these demos, and a lot of the bits from the demos we ended up just carrying through into the studio, you know? And so I thought we were going to go into the studio and it was maybe going to be a lot more polished and we were going to reframe things more. But when we got there, and I got there with Ben and I was talking to him about it, there was so much stuff that it felt like you couldn't really create again. Or if you did, it wouldn't have the same effect. I guess it kept that, yeah, just like first go, throw at the wall, throw everything at the wall kind of effect to a lot of the songs, which is kind of what I love about it the most now. But yeah, I didn't initially think that it would be quite so much, you know?
Dispello seems to have quite a bit of collaboration. Was this something you did intentionally, and what drew you to work with other musicians on this one instead of working on your own?
Yeah, I felt, again, just empowered to kind of take the reins in a way that when I did the first one, it was figuring it all out on my own. Whereas now, this Dispello feels more, I just wasn't so worried, you know, and I knew I could do it. And I could also, you know, I didn't have to have a band or a set band, so I could choose, I could just ask anyone, you know, and it could be just that one song, and there's no commitment really. So it was kind of easy, and I kind of got just addicted to asking different people and excited about it, you know? Yeah, as well, like, it's just so nice having different voices. It was mainly, like, I played, I think, you know, most of the instruments on the whole album, other than my friends playing some horns and my friend Ryan playing slide guitar. But it's definitely that thing about kind of where you are in an album, or where an album takes you. If you have more voices as well, it suddenly feels, like, better populated in a really nice way, you know? And it gives that collaborative, I don't know, yeah, feel that just makes it all a bit magical. it speaks to what I've been talking about with this, where, you know, it's starts with just me and this kind of janky piano, and in kind of like a broken show tune-y way in my mind. And there's a song, another song that starts the album, but this to me kind of is like, when I recorded it, it felt like an exciting push into the kind of world that I was looking to make with the album. It was one of the earlier songs I'd recorded too. So yeah, it was kind of, it feels kind of hard-hitting, but it does the two things I like about music, which is like, it holds its own in terms of, you know, it's catchy, it's kind of upbeat, and it's got some heart to it that just like makes you want to hum it. But at the same time, you know, I spend a lot of time miking up guitars in different ways and kind of grinding strings and putting them through lots of synthesizers, and it was like the furthest out I'd gone, while at the same time felt kind of like I was trying to write like a classic show tune kind of song. And so that speaks as like a statement for the album and the area I was trying to go. I was kind of trying to go simultaneously more classic and more off the wall, you know?
Traced but not noted endlessly.
I might have even written this before recording the first album, but I put it on the shelf for a while. It's a song about Christchurch, and it's about what the strip is, kind of the strip of bars and nightclubs in town that we have here. And there's something about it, it's kind of somber and cold about it, but also it's supposed to be the, I guess, the party centre, you know? Yeah, a bit sad, but also maybe a little bit romantic about that. So I wrote the song. It would definitely not have been the same without getting Charlotte involved. And so, yeah, when I heard it, it was definitely, it's one of my favourites on the album.
The toes been get bloodless. This evening seemed loveless. It's freezing. We're heedless. White flowing. Town closing. Time floating. You notice. Flatter with my compass. The ground hears so restless. We broke one. It birthed us. Free, but I'm not going out.
this one, recording it was so much fun and such a bizarre experience for me. So I recorded the song initially. We were trying to figure out where it kind of sat. We did like a really like hard-hitting version that was similar to Lozenge off my first album, really like kind of fuzzy, poppy, everything's all go. And I just wasn't quite, I couldn't really get it. And then I asked Alistair Galbraith if he'd do some vocals for it. And I just said to him, you can pretty much do whatever you want. I love his music. And I kind of thought he would, you know, just maybe say some words from the song or kind of whatever he wanted. And then he sent through the recording that he'd made, and it was him kind of put through, I don't know, like tape loops and stuff, and kind of just using his voice in this kind of amazing and like aggressive, like cackly kind of way, to the point where I was just like surprised and blown away. And it was, I just did not expect it whatsoever. And I remember messaging him being like, you know, like, can you just send me the recording of that on its own? Because he sent it to me with the song. And I was just asking him questions about it, being like, what is this? How did you do it? And he was just like, to me, I'm a magical, intuitive person, Ben. And it kind of was like, that's what you're getting. And so from there, I kind of reframed the song in a lot of ways, taking that on. And I kind of, the initial stuff we did, I almost remixed it. I got all the stems that we recorded and started cutting them up and, you know, having these very dry recordings of me playing acoustic guitar and singing and then mixing them in with more, yeah, digital affected drums and cutting bass, I don't know, just like kind of shuffling everything around. And it was kind of amazing that Alistair brought that to it.
He pulls the seams, shouts through his heave, bears on relief, fosters the grief, and takes apart his parents' pictures when all the blood is given gives in time. They won't believe what they don't see. Bent over knee to the dog that speaks, takes a meat in your own fingers. The listen that he gives you is one time.
What made you pick out Wearing Divine to be your lead single?
When I was sending it round to people, I initially thought that it was really nice, and because it's not super dynamic, like it's very cruisy and kind of sits in one spot for a lot of it. And so I was like, maybe I thought I need that, you know, I need all these dynamics if I want to have like a hard-hitting single. Not that any of the songs are really going to be that necessarily, but you know. But everyone I talked to thought that that was the winner. And as well, the fact that I had Lucy and Marlon on it, it kind of felt like, I don't know, it was a nice thing to share straight away. You know, I had all these like different ties, And it is probably one of the poppiest in that when I was writing it, I was trying to kind of emulate 60s, I don't know, just like that psychedelic poppy, doo-woppy sound. I was just having fun with that and wrote this kind of, duo kind of ballad thing. So yeah, I don't know, it's not what I initially expected to be the single, but it feels good that it was, you know, and there is an ease to it that some of them have, I guess, maybe harder edges in a way. It feels like one of the most surreal songs to me because it felt like it's got a really strong narrative compared to a lot of the other ones. And in that like trade-off vocal thing that me and Lucy do, there's something real classic about it that I think made me go, oh yeah, this is, you know, like very classic in a way. When I wrote it first off, I was like, oh, I don't know how this would really fit, you know? But then through recording and experimenting, you add those like, you know, those things that kind of make it bend and suddenly make it feel queasy and kind of give, to me, after we recorded it, it kind of had a very different feeling and like meaning to the song almost.
Stop begging you my love.
think it's just my favorite song on the album, to be honest. I think I wrote it maybe pretty soon before we started recording, and it's just, it felt like it summed it all up for me. A lot of the tone of the other songs and what I'm talking about, you know, there's a lot of, there's parts where I'm kind of at odds with myself in a lot of ways, or people around me and love and just the whole human experience really, but I feel like this one brings it all together. And I remember writing it and just feeling very aware of how my perception of things affects those things, you know, the reality of them. And so writing this is kind of me sitting in a space where I feel present with the things around me, you know, and I have a better understanding of when and when to not listen to my own bullshit. But yeah, it felt as well like the song feels very simmered, the kind of samples, and I don't know, I feel like at that point I had a better understanding of where to move in regards to making layers. Like there's that melody that kind of falls after the vocals that goes da 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 da. Yeah, it was like vocal effects and a theremin and all these things, and it just felt like, it all just felt quite centered, and I felt like that was a good way to go out on it, you know, there's a nice like fade out, everything's just simmering nicely, and it's like ready for the next thing. That's how I felt when I wrote the song, I think, in myself, in a lot of ways.
Fever's locked and on and on and on. Back from the top you go. I've got a prison made of porcelain beer. Mighty.